From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, January the 5th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And of course, it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and proud. How sweet it is. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Now let's get things started properly with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call, and this comes to us from the late, great Jerome Singer said, if you came home and found a strange man teaching your kids to punch each other or try to sell them all kinds of products, you'd kick him right out of the house. But here you are. You come in, the TV is on, and you don't think twice about it. How about that? And now this stuff is on their phones.
Hello!
But let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
That's it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? That is a threat we face every time we do this. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1914, the Ford Motor Company announced an 8-hour workday and minimum daily wage of $5 in salary plus bonuses. Like a nickel, I don't know. Hey, don't laugh. In those days, that was considered a radical improvement. Think about that for a minute, will you? And it was on this day in 1944, the Daily Mail became the first major London newspaper to be published on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. In fact, if you want a better picture of what's going on here in our own country, you'd do well to read the Daily Mail.
Surely you can't be serious.
The big news story yesterday morning was the Epstein list, right? Who flew with Jeffrey Epstein? And turns out that, I guess, Jeffrey Epstein's biggest customer was President Clinton. And the word got out that Clinton liked them young. I'm not going to get into this story because you can get this story anywhere else. I try to focus on stuff that is a little bit off of the mainstream media jolly list. I call it the jolly list because there are certain stories, certain types of stories that really tickle the mainstream media and they go after it. Now, the Epstein thing, you can bet is going to be downplayed quite a bit by the mainstream media. But it's going to be picked up big time by publications like Fox News Channel, New York Post, other conservative publications. And I may dive into that a little bit more next week. But there were some names that surprised me. First of all, the important thing is both Donald Trump and Alan Dershowitz have been cleared. They did nothing wrong. So. And apparently, when they realized what was really going on, both Dershowitz and Trump got the heck out of Dodge. So that's basically a summary of the Epstein story. That's all you're going to get here. I have something far more interesting, far more, I'll say important, because I think history is what we make it, don't you think? I read a saying years ago about history is written by the victors, and it is. So how much of all of the history you've learned in your life is really true? You got to wonder. And when a story is changed, when something that was long believed to be true is suddenly, I don't know. What's the term that I'm looking for? Is unraveled and found not to have been true. It kind of rattles me. I don't know about you, but makes you wonder, okay, well, how did the so-called historical facts that have been around all these years, how could they be changed and on what grounds? So if what I've understood all my life to be true isn't true, how can I be assured that the new story is true? See, that's where I'm trying to go with that. I guess I haven't had enough caffeine yet. So you can imagine my shock when I saw the headline, "Retired Judge's Controversial Theory Suggests Lindbergh Kidnapping Was a Hoax." Now, let's reiterate. This is a theory. It's a suggestion, okay? But it is, no matter how you look at it, a startling revelation, and it is sending shockwaves through historical circles that a retired judge from California has presented a theory that Charles Lindbergh may have been involved in the death of his own son, Charles Jr. Now, this happened in 1932. And the theory posits that the kidnapping was actually a cover-up for medical experiments gone awry. Yeah, think about that for a second. Now, the retired judge, Lisa Perlman, has spent over a decade doing her own forensic investigations into the case. Her findings suggest that Lindbergh, who was never considered a suspect due to his overwhelming fame, may have collaborated with Nobel Prize-winning biologist Alexis Carrel to perform experimental surgery on his child, ultimately leading to the child's death. Sad circumstance. But it does get sadder. Now, Perlman's book, Suspect Number One, The Man Who Got Away, draws on medical reports, New Jersey State Police files, and writings by both Lindbergh and Carrel. And she theorizes, and this is very important, this is just a theory, but she theorizes that Lindbergh viewed his son, who had an abnormally large head, as disposable in the pursuit of scientific advancement, particularly in the field of organ transplantation. Wow. Now, the implications of this theory are pretty profound. You don't need me to tell you that. This casts a shadow over the trial of the century. I don't know if you're aware of the trial of the century, but that was the trial that saw German immigrant Bruno Richard Hauptmann convicted and executed for the kidnapping and murder of Charles Jr. Now, Hauptmann maintained his innocence until his death, and now advocates, including the Innocence Project, are calling for the case to be reopened. Now, this is going to be interesting. Supporters of Perlman's theory, and you got a lot of them out there, argue that numerous leads weren't followed during the original investigation and that evidence was withheld from Hauptmann's defense team. And they believe that modern DNA testing could shed light on the true events of that fateful night and potentially exonerate Hauptmann posthumously. A lot of good that does him, though, right? Just the same, the theories garnered support from various quarters, including historians and relatives of Hauptmann. Some even envision staging a mock trial to re-examine the evidence and correct what they see as historical injustices. Now, this is immensely interesting. The idea is to use contemporary forensic techniques to test key items like the ransom note left for the Lindberghs. Now, despite the controversial nature of Perlman's claims, the push for reopening the case continues. And I'll bet it's going to continue until they finally get this mock trial. Advocates argue that the truth deserves to be uncovered, not only for the sake of justice, but also to ensure that history accurately reflects the events surrounding one of America's most notorious crimes. You think about this. We are 90 years since the incident. And, 91 years since the incident. And now this comes up. Don't you want to know? I sure do. And of course, the debate continues. It remains to be seen whether new light is going to be shed on the Lindbergh kidnapping case. But what is clear is that the retired judge's theory has introduced new questions about a case that a lot of people thought was closed, prompting a reevaluation of a pivotal moment in American criminal history. So I'm going to keep watching for this. I hope something does come of this. I hope they have the mock trial. I would imagine most, if not all, of the evidence presented at the original trial is still around, still exists. So use your imagination. Think of the amazing things that would come out of a mock trial. The judge, Ms. Perlman, may have, she's been retired for a few years now. She's just, she's had time on her hands to look into these things. But there are a lot of photos that you can find on the internet of the Hauptmann trial and the events leading up to it. Several YouTube videos also about the subject. So if you want to get caught up on it, trust me, you will find it interesting. And who knows, we may be revisiting this soon. This is interesting. Mick Farthing, writing in the PJ newsletter, says that with the new year upon us, the 2024 presidential election will only be heating up. We know that. We're just weeks away from the first primary voting. So it's going to be an interesting year. Americans are looking at their choices, and it seems that only a few candidates are going to make it to November. Recent survey asked voters what they thought about Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And they asked for one word to describe Trump's march to the White House. And what most said is going to have Democrats very worried. This is from Breitbart. Revenge is one of the top words used to describe what likely voters believe former President Donald Trump wants to achieve in a second term. And this is according to a recent JL Partners Polls Daily Mail survey. In contrast, the top word for Biden across all parties is nothing, a sentiment held by Republicans and independents particularly. Now, in what should be an alarming indicator for Democrats, respondents in a recent poll revealed that many Americans believe Trump's after revenge in a second term as president. I don't think that's all he's after. But if revenge is a part of it, I'm actually okay with it, because revenge on his part, I think, unless I'm really way off here, revenge on Donald Trump's part would signal a cleanup of our government and perhaps even the shutdown of a couple of the government's agencies, like the Department of Education. That should be abolished. Something's got to be done with the FBI. I think something's got to be done with the EPA as well. So it won't come as a mystery to most people why, you know, Trump has faced incredible opposition, incredible abuse. I've never seen any public official take the kind of abuse he has been subjected to since entering politics. You know, and Democrats have gone after his family, his businesses, and of course, you know, his integrity. And then in contrast, voters often said nothing when asked about what Biden is after in a second term. Biden's just taking up space on behalf of Barack Obama. We all know that. Biden's widely considered a failure as a president. His agenda is nothing more than an extension of Barack Obama's agenda. So Democrats impeached Trump twice now, and liberal prosecutors are currently pressing four criminal trials against him. In addition to this, Trump continues to maintain that he won the 2020 election, but it was stolen by Democrats. I agree. But what I think doesn't matter here. And that doesn't even address the Biden administration, which has gone out of its way to reverse most, if not all, of Trump's successes during his first term in office. And that was done within the first few days of the Biden administration. And we felt it. We Americans felt it. I mean, immediately, prices of everything went up. Now, what was our national debt at the time Donald Trump left the White House? I think it was $27 trillion. And now it's up to what, 30, 37? 37 trillion now. So for Americans to think Trump's after revenge in his second term's not far-fetched, really. That is not a stretch by any imagination. And should be a worrying thought to Democrats. Because if Trump returns to the White House, he might use his executive power to hold accountable liberals who seemingly persecuted him and his many supporters. And frankly, I'd hate to see that, really. I mean, justice has to be distributed. I mean, without justice, what kind of a foundation do we have for this country? We have to seek justice. But is President Trump the one to do that? I'd like to see a little more proactive work from the Supreme Court. But then again, the Supreme Court's duties are well defined. And the Supreme Court should never be given any powers to extend beyond their defined purpose in our government. Since it's Friday, I want to pull out a story that I've been sitting on for a while. This actually broke back on last Friday. Just over 3/4 of Americans reported that their income is not keeping up with inflation. This was in a recent poll. And this was a poll that was conducted by CBS News and YouGov. U.gov? Yeah, okay. And people are struggling to pay their bills. You're probably one of them. Because our economy has been plagued by stagnant wages and higher prices for consumer goods. Inflation has subsided a little bit, but it hasn't gone away. We still have inflation. Reference my story from the other day about my six-pack of Dr. Pepper. Up until Biden's election, I was paying $2.50 for a six-pack of those 16.9-ounce bottles. It's now up to $4.98. And my pay hasn't changed, not one dime. So they say that 56% of Americans believe government spending is causing high inflation, which directly affects consumers. That's only 56%, but that's encouraging for me because I usually go through life thinking that most Americans are totally unaware of how our economy works and what causes things like inflation. But when people reach a certain age, just from experience, they begin to understand things like government spending. You know, getting involved in every single war that comes up on the globe. Oh, we've got to get into this. Well, that costs money. And you foot the bill. And you foot the bill two ways. You foot the bill through your taxes, and then you foot the bill through inflation. Inflation is a tax on your taxes. Pretty much. Now, one group of Americans got a holiday boost, while most of the country continues to struggle. Joe Biden played the role of Santa Claus to one of his largest voter blocks. The Daily Caller said that President Joe Biden signed an executive order in December giving federal employees an average of a 5.2 increase in pay, the largest increase since former President Jimmy Carter raised federal salaries by 9.1% in 1980. Now, that right there, I'll never forget that. When Carter did that, you could hear screams erupting from coast to coast to coast and border to border. Americans were furious at that. You know, I still, to this day, can't think of anything that Jimmy Carter did that was good for this country. Nothing! And I ever since Ronald Reagan beat him in 1980 in that election, in November of 1980, I have lived in fear of getting another president like him. Well, it happened in 2008. We got Obama. We've got Obama again. Our proxy president, Joe Biden, carrying out Obama's most intimate wishes. So Biden's pay increase for federal bureaucrats is going to deliver a 4.7% increase across the board. An additional bump averaging 0.5% may be added depending on where the federal employees work. High-cost areas like San Francisco can lead to an additional 0.9% raise for federal workers because they have to live there. There's some good news in next year's budget as members of the armed forces are going to get a pay raise, averaging 5.2% in 2024. But quite frankly, they should have gotten something like that years ago. The pay bump is part of the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, which was approved by Congress And by comparison, the pay hike for civilian bureaucrats was solely authorized by Biden's decree. Who's acting like a dictator here? Spokesperson for the Office of Management and Budget said that the federal government is the nation's largest employer. And that should not be the case. But it is. And this spokesperson said, we must ensure it has the talent to meet the needs of the American people. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, you know, the BLS, said all American employees working in the private sector saw a 4.5 salary increase between September of 2022 and September 2023. Really? Not true. Now, that statistic doesn't tell the whole story about wages, because there were hundreds of thousands of job layoffs during that time. And employers throughout the country didn't necessarily give pay raises the same in previous years. Now, under Biden's watch, inflation grew at 3.1% between November of 22 and November of 23. And Biden's talent could arguably be the ability to strain the U.S. economy through his policies that created all this inflation. It isn't pretty. Now, this isn't the first time federal workers have seen a nice pay bump under Biden. Federal employees got a pay bump of 4.6% in 23, according to Government Executive. That's a publication that tracks this stuff. Federal workers, on average, get paid more than people working outside the federal government. And some of these federal jobs are pretty cushy. The average pay for federal employees was $98,000. 943 in 2023, with some areas like Washington, D.C. raking in an average of more than $135,000 a year. See, the average American doesn't do so well in the real world. The median salary in the United States was $1,118 a week as of October, which totals about $58,000 a year. And people question whether the high pay for federal employees sways them to vote for Democrats. Well, statistics show that during the 2020 presidential election cycle, federal employees heavily favored Biden. He raised $1.06 million from the bureaucrat crowd between 2019 and October 2020, while Trump raised $743,000. Did you catch that? Big difference. And that trend was like the 2016 election, where Hillary Clinton got $1.9 million in donations from federal workers. Trump only got about 5% of federal employee donations. So we have a math versus culture problem. I don't know. If I were raising a kid today, I'd probably advise that kid. Study and then go to work for the government. Because the private sector these days isn't looking so healthy, is it? Jack Davis, writing in the Western Journal, says that Disney lost the top spot in the 2023 race to be the highest grossing movie studio. Gee, what's happening over there? As if we didn't know. Instead, Universal, which had the Super Mario Brothers movie, Oppenheimer, and what was the other film? M3 Gan was Megan. But the E was turned around to look like a 3. Became the global champion, according to Variety. Now, overall, Universal racked up $4.907 billion in global ticket sales. Disney raked in $4.827 billion globally. Not far behind them, granted. But Disney is quick to note that it produced 17 movies in the year against Universal's 24 films. So, that's interesting math right there. So Warner Brothers, powered by the hit Barbie, was third with $3.84 billion globally. Sony and Paramount were each estimated to land about $2 billion each. Now, Universal had $1.94 billion in domestic revenue against $1.9 million for Disney, according to the Hollywood Reporter. I'm sorry, that's $9.4 billion. Misprint there on my script. Sorry about that. Anyhow, elsewhere around the world, Universal totaled $2.97 billion in ticket sales. Disney's revenue outside the U.S. was $2.92 billion. Now, here's some numbers that are kind of interesting. Indiana Jones. The budget was $300 million. The break-even point was $750 million. The total gross was $384 million. So it didn't exactly die, but it didn't do anywhere near as well as expected. The movie Wish. The budget was $200 million. Break-even point, $500 million. Current gross, only $148 million. Not doing well. The Marvels. The budget, $220 million. Break-even point, $550 million. Current gross, $205 million. Another one, not doing well. Now, why there isn't a stockholder revolt over there at Disney, I have absolutely no idea. But Disney is just not doing well. Now, Universal last topped the list in 2015, after which Disney led the parade. And let's see here. ComScore Chief Box Office Analyst, Paul, I can't even pronounce his last name, Dergarabedian. Dergarabedian. Okay. Paul Dergarabedian. Anyhow, you know. Quoting him, he says, Universal seems to have found the perfect balance of franchise films, animation, horror, and everything in between. And these assets are given every possible advantage with a pitch-perfect strategy that combines great filmmaker relationships, fantastic marketing, and a rock-solid distribution plan. Well, clearly the problem at Disney is management. Lousy management. Bob Iger, who was called back in to staunch the bleeding, hasn't done doodly squat. Now, Variety, which is the Bible of how healthy Hollywood is, noted that Disney had four titles in the top 10 films, but it also didn't have one of the top three films, which were Barbie from Warner Brothers at $1.4 billion and Universal's The Super Mario Brothers movie at $1.3 billion and Oppenheimer at $950 million. And actually, I'm surprised that Oppenheimer did as well as it did, because that's kind of an egghead sort of film, right? And Variety pointed out that Disney films, with a middling box office showing by its standards, which other studios might envy, often ended up as financial disasters because Disney movies often have much higher costs, which we outlined a minute ago there. They noted that although Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, grossed $476 million globally to place 10th, it was a money loser due to its costs. And the American box office was similar with Barbie and the Super Mario Brothers movie at the top, according to Box Office Pro. I finally did watch the Barbie movie. I saw it on, I think it was Netflix. And it was cute. It was okay. I'm glad I didn't spend premium dollars to watch it at the box or at the theater. Anyhow, the list of the top 10 films at the American box office had a surprise. Sound of Freedom. How about that? I had a feeling about that. That was the independent film from Angel Studios. It earned $184,177,725, according to Christian Headlines. Not too shabby. And, of course, it was a low-cost film. And it made the top 10 by narrowly beating out Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, which grossed $179 million and some change to finish 11th. Encouraging. I hope they continue to do stories like that and bring them to the theaters. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and grab some laughs with Jordan Conley.
One of my favorite stories, my favorite thing that went viral in all of the pandemic, right? There was this video that came out of this guy, this single hiker who was being chased or like stalked by a mountain lion for like a good 5 to 10 minutes, okay? And I want you to know, it's one of my favorite stories in the world. My friend was so excited to tell me. He was like, Jordan, I don't know if you've seen this video. It's a video, it's a hiker. He's being stalked by a mountain lion for like 5 to 10 minutes. He's hiking by himself, he's a white guy. I was like, you didn't have to tell me he was white. I knew it. There was... You said lone hiker. That spell that backwards. It spells white guy. I'm letting you know. There's no way you're gonna tell. Black people don't hike by themselves. And when we do, we're going to 7-Eleven to buy hot Cheetos. Like, I'm... That's what it is. Matter of fact, the last time I went hiking by myself, I went with my men's choir for a church retreat. But it was too many black people that were really afraid to hike, so we went to our local park and sat in the sandbox for 72 hours next to phone chargers, because there's... Black people need reception when we hike. The minute a black person, you got a reception, you got, nope, let's go lock it up, let's go back. Like, just... That's it, we're good, we're good. There's no way, I'm just... It's insane to me. Like, it trips me out. Like, me, myself. Like, it's not, I'm joking, obviously. Like, I hike, you know what I mean? Like, my hikes are just normally shorter than everyone else's. Like, I hike from my car to the sign that tells you what dangerous animals you might encounter. I read it, I hike back. That's it. That is it. Now, my favorite thing about, like, the story about the mountain lion versus the hiker, I just learned that that happened here. When I found that out, I was like, also, duh, because, like, every black person I see in Utah, I'm like, you don't belong here. I don't know what's happening, but, like, I felt it. I saw a black person at Zion. I looked at him dead in the eye and whispered, are you okay? Like, I don't... I want you to know, every black person that I've encountered, you, everyone else, all the white people are so nice. You're like, hi, good morning. But when I see a black person, he don't even make eye contact. I'm like, somebody needs to flash a camera in his face right now. Get out! I don't know. I'm so sorry. That was a personal story. I got so scared. It's insane, but this is where we are. Like, it's very interesting because, like, here's the thing. The reason why I don't hike by myself is because, like, I feel like you need a safety net. So I need to go with a partner. And the reason being is because if we encounter a lion, we can't get away, but I can. So I just realized I said safety net. I meant to say sacrifice, and that was my fault. That was my fault.
Have a terrific weekend. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?